Happy Labor Day weekend to all you geeks, nerdettes, and non-binary poindexters. It's another episode of Mr. Sledge's Neighborhood, brought to you by this week's sponsors, Quaker Oatmeal and Hillshire Farms Hot Dogs.
You know how some cereals have a long list of ingredients?
I do, Wilford Brimley, I do.
Well, not Quaker Oats. It has a list of one ingredient.
Diabetes?
100% rolled oats.
I guess that makes more sense than diabetes for oatmeal.
Quaker Oats. It's the right thing to do.
Wait, hold on. The right thing to do is to eat oatmeal? God, I gotta recheck my moral compass.
Most hot dogs don't quite make it to the end of the bun, so you're left with the end of the bun.
Here you go, Ralph.
Boy, we have all been there, haven't we?
That's why Hillshire Farm created bun-sized wieners.
Wieners that fit in your bun.
Kids like them because they taste great. Moms like them because they're made with quality cuts of beef and pork. And they're longer, so they fit the bun better.
Whoa. I guess that depends on the size of the bun now, doesn't it?
Get a bite of hot dog for every bite of bun.
Sorry, Ralph.
Bun-sized wieners from Hillshire Farm.
Just look for this nice young man on the label.
Whoa. I'm not even sure if the kid can keep a secret.
And now, the news!
In what happens when your digital assistants talk to each other news, when Jeff Bezos attended the Microsoft-held industry CEO meeting this past week, he was still probably running a little bit high off of his purchase of Whole Foods. When somebody asked, hey, why not partner on digital assistants? Crazy, right? Now, Alexa already has a much larger user base than Cortana, so what benefit would Amazon see from such a partnership? But Cortana has a larger install base. Literally every Windows 10 PC on the planet, every Xbox One, and yes, the few Windows phones left out in the wild. So what would this look like? Amazon and Microsoft are partnering to better integrate their Alexa and Cortana digital assistants. Alexa users will be able to access Cortana and vice versa on a range of devices, although the integration will be a little bit awkward initially. Somebody using Alexa will have to say, Alexa, open Cortana to get Microsoft's digital assistant, and somebody using Cortana will have to say, Cortana, open Alexa to talk to Amazon's. It appears that both companies have simply created skills on each other's platforms to enable the basic integration. Don't expect this to last, though. Integration will come, and you will soon be able to say, Cortana, buy some diapers, and Alexa will just order diapers off your Amazon pull list. This cross-platform integration will also allow Alexa users to access some of the more unique aspects of Cortana. Microsoft has built its digital assistant more directly into its Office products. Now Alexa will get functionality via Cortana, accessing the work calendars and email, for example. While Microsoft is still tempting developers to create their own Cortana skills, existing Cortana users will be able to call up Alexa to get access to the ones Cortana is missing. This might mean controlling smart home devices or shopping on Amazon. It's a surprise move by both companies, and comes just as Microsoft is preparing to launch Cortana Speaker with its Harman Kardon and its digital assistant into cars, thermostats, and even more devices. Amazon, Microsoft, Apple, and Google have built rival digital assistants that have been seen as walled-off gardens, blocked off from each other. But this partnership signals a move that will make them work better together. As for Apple, Samsung, and Google, well, who really cares about further accessing Siri to call your au pair to tell her you're running late from spin class? Bixby literally can't even search for itself. And Google? Well, do you really want Google Ads talking to you? Bezos welcomes Apple and Google to offer similar integration, and he says, quote, there's going to be multiple successful intelligent agents, each with access to different sets of data and different specialized skills. Together, their strengths will complement each other, end quote. Well, if that's a good idea, I bet Tim Cook disregards it.
Hey Siri, would you call 911? Okay, Google.
How do I build a bomb?
Alexa,
find me a dollhouse or two. Hey, Cortana, no one uses you.
And you can now play your mobile TV games on TV again, news. Remember when I talked about the new Atari Classic system that will have the built-in Android player? No? Well, I did. Well, Microsoft beat them to the punch, and now they have an iOS and Android games available. Microsoft is launching its Mixer Create app on iOS and Android today, September 1st, allowing gamers to stream mobile games. Both apps will support mobile gameplay streaming, but there are some restrictions on the iOS side. Go figure, Apple doesn't like working with friends. Any games can be streamed from Android, just like YouTube or Twitch currently support, and games will need to support Apple's Replay Kit in order to enable streaming from an iPhone. That means not every iOS game will work, but titles like Star Trek Timelines, Goat Simulator, Intro to the Dead, Modern Combat 5, Blackout will all be supported.
This is Stu. He's a huge idiot, but he was born with the God-given talent to trigger a light sensor, so here we are.
It stays salty!
Well, that's because it's salt, you huge idiot.
What is it?
Salt. Salt. Salt! Okay, you know what? You have to do something. Because I don't care for all this yelling. It's time for me and the guys to ride again. Stu, we're leaving.
I think this might be salt.
In Texas is the land of patent trolls news, a jury has ruled that Nintendo must pay $10.1 million because of its Wii and Wii U systems infringed on the patent belonging to a Dallas medical motion detection company. iLife sued Nintendo in 2013 after filing lawsuits against four other companies in 2012. The case went to jury trial in Dallas, and yesterday the jury returned its verdict. They found that Nintendo infringed on U.S. patent number 6,864,796, first filed in 1999, which describes, quote, systems and methods for evaluating movement of a body relative to the environment, end quote. The patent drawings show body mount motion detector that could detect falls for the elderly, which is the market that iLife was targeting, according to the now-defunct website. The $10.1 million was less than 10% of what iLife's attorneys had been asking for. When the trial began in Dallas on August 21st, Law 360 reported that iLife lawyers asked the jury for a $144 million payout. The damage demand was based on a royalty of $4 per Wii unit, multiplied by the 36 million systems that sold in the 6 years before the lawsuit was filed. It isn't clear, though, what products iLife was actually able to sell, if any. Archived versions of the company's webpages show that it marketed fall detection devices for the elderly, but the verdict form states that one of the jury's findings is that there weren't any sales of the Health Sensor 100 at all from the time of the patent issued in 2005 until the lawsuit was filed on December 2013. Nintendo said it will appeal the verdict, and the company points out that the patent that the Wii was found to infringe is related to accidental falls. Quote, Nintendo disagrees with the decision, as Nintendo does not infringe on iLife's patent, and the patent is invalid, end quote, the company told Glixel, Rolling Stone's video game blog, in a statement. Quote, Nintendo looks forward to raising those issues with the district court, with the Court of the Appeals, end quote. Man, I could get into a whole segment on patent trolls, but This American Life and Plant Money have already tackled this topic, twice, apiece. And there's no way I can do better than them that explaining how fucked up our patent system when it comes to software and technology. I mean, it is truly terrible.
It's a disaster.
A debacle.
A disastical.
The synthetic skin grafts show no increase in suppleness or elasticity. All that's happening is they're growing thick strands of hair. It's like my aunt's chin before she plucks it for church.
This happens every time?
Yes, we failed you. Stop screaming at us.
Guys, you didn't fail. You're growing hair. This is the holy grail of research and development. Every R&D department in the country is looking for this. This discovery could make us legends.
I love when Ted's happy.
Me too. I know just the song we should sing when he leaves.
We're making Ted happy and we're going to go down in history. God, my dad is going to be so proud. I'll draw up the proposal and get the paperwork in. If all goes well, we can start work on this by next fall.
Next fall? Oh, we can't wait that long. We gotta keep moving.
But what about protocol?
Forget protocol. Did Einstein stop to fill out paperwork before discovering his theory of relativity?
Actually, he was a patent clerk, so all he did was fill out paperwork.
Guys, keep going. If this is successful, we could do to the comb-over what Einstein did to Newtonian physics. See? I know things about stuff.
No. In It's Finally Over reviews, I went and did it. I read Secret Empire number 10. If you want to see some of my reviews of the earlier issues, go to thecourtofnerds.com, or you can listen to my diatribe about it and Nick Spencer in Mr. Sledge's After Party that was released on April 24th, and you can hear my rage. I will not rage here, maybe, but instead I will offer up a summary of the series. Red Skull uses Cosmic Cube to make Steve Rogers into a Nazi and Hydra agent. Steve finally fulfills that goal and manages to take over the world. He then tries to assemble his own Cosmic Cube. Then the Steve Rogers that we all remember comes back and beats himself up. I'm not being facetious, that's the story. Sure, other characters are involved, but that's the story. Everything becomes status quo again, I guess. I suppose one could argue that the point of Secret Empire was trying to make was those that seek power are ultimately destroyed by it. Steve Rogers spent the series hunting a Cosmic Cube pieces, and once he got them all, the Cosmic Cube brought about the means to his defeat. So what is Nick Spencer telling us? Maybe God will intervene and fix all of our problems? Nazis are bad, democracy good! Granted, in 2017, these lessons might need to be retaught to certain occupants of the White House, but I doubt the comic book audience needs that lesson reinforced. Most comic book events have their characters make decisions that move them from point A to point B. Spencer has the entire Marvel Universe moving from point A to point A. Everything reset to the status quo, except for the characters' deaths. Everybody remembers the true history, but they also remember that Captain America was basically a Nazi? I mean, is the Cosmic Cube lazy or just a jerk? From a practical standpoint alone, why not just reload from a previous save? To teach a lesson? And what is the lesson? Don't be a Nazi? Don't mess with a Cosmic Cube? This entire series was pointless, and Marvel knows it. They have put Mark Waid back on Captain America in November, which will hopefully wash the Captain Hydra stink off. In the words of our own Drew McCarthy, fuck Nick Spencer forever.
I just don't want to spend all my recesses in meetings. I'd rather play in the sandbox and make mud pies.
Honey, you're just nervous. Look, I know it's not easy, but I really think you should stick with it. You're going to be the best class president ever.
All right.
All right? Good.
Being better than the last one won't be hard. He ate pencils and kept calling our teacher Mommy.
That's all I have for this week's Mr. Sledge's Neighborhood. Swing by thecourtofnerds.com and read Grant's review of the latest Black Hammer. It's dissatisfying. Wink, wink, nudge, nudge. I'm Kevin from The Court of Nerds, relating the past, present, and future walk into a bar. It was tense. Bye.